Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Like, you read a book and you get to the end, or you finish a project that took maybe months to do and everything, and when you're done, do you just move on quickly? No. You want to savor that moment a little bit? You want to reflect on that a little bit and say, wow, you know, and have that sense of accomplishment? Well, that's where we're at today. We are finishing the book of Romans. We got some woos, woo, some sighs of relief or things like that. And, you know, we spent most of this year together going through this incredible letter. And when you've spent this much time going through something, you don't want to just move on quickly. You want to actually savor it a little bit, maybe look back and reflect a little bit on where we've been and what we've been doing. And for me, as we wrap up Romans today, the question that comes to my mind that we might want to ask is this: what happens when the gospel really gets hold of a life? I think that's kind of been a theme going through Romans. And as you reflect on it, I'm not sure what it means for you. And maybe you haven't been here for this whole journey. And if you haven't, if this might be your first time here, your second time here, I've got some great news for you today. You didn't have to be here for the whole series to get it all, because today we're gonna unpack all of it again. So you got some time? Did you bring your lunch? You ready to sit in for a while? No. It's not going to take that long. But we're going to go back over the whole book, and you're going to get the whole picture. So if you haven't been here, that's okay. Hang on tight, and you'll get the whole thing as Paul shows us not just what we need to know about God, but what God can do in our lives. For me, this has been a really replenishing, refreshing series or book to go through, several different series, because Romans is a deeply theological book. It's one of those books that you dig deep in, and that's where we get a lot of our understanding about our theological positions on things like sin and salvation, grace, justification, the sovereignty of God, and now some of you are glazing over already as we use those big words. But it's a book Christians have studied for centuries and used to establish some positions. But as I've gone through this with you guys over this year, it has revealed something to me that maybe I didn't give it enough credit for. Romans is a deeply practical letter that Paul wrote. And as I reflected on the practicalities of it and the things that we've learned over this year, I realized Paul was not sitting in some library writing a theological textbook. A lot of times Romans gets treated like that. But it is intensely practical. He's writing to a real church with real people who had real problems, real struggles, and they were from different backgrounds, different traditions, and different ways of doing things. And Paul is trying to tell them, hey, we all need to do this same thing together because Jesus is the center of it all. He spent 16 chapters saying, you all need the same grace. You're all saved by the same Jesus. You're all part of the same family. So learn to live like it. That's what Paul has been saying to us. When you read Romans through, the theology does not become less important. It just becomes incredibly practical. Paul's not just teaching us what to believe. He's teaching us who God is and what the gospel does to people who actually believe it. And we've covered a lot of ground together. When we went all the way back to the beginning, we discovered that the world is a mess. And we actually asked God to bless this mess. You remember that? Right? And then after we did that, we went on to, leading up to Easter, we went to the cross and the resurrection, and we figured out that Easter changes everything. And moving on from there, we moved to Romans 6 through 8 and discovered that because of Jesus, we don't have to stay stuck. We can get unstuck. And then Romans 9 through 11 allowed us to go deep and ask some questions and really ask God why and get a lot of answers and discover His sovereignty in a fresh way. And then we got to Romans 12 where we saw the ultimate makeover happening where Jesus can change a life from the inside out. And then over the last few weeks, we've been looking at purpose and making our life matter. Did you remember all that? At the end of the day, the theme that went through all of that was this: God's grace. God's grace. God's grace for the mess. God's grace that changes everything. God's grace that helps us get unstuck. God's grace that holds us when we have questions that sometimes are unanswerable even. And then God's grace that transforms us and gives our lives purpose. And after 16 chapters, Paul's been through a lot of this stuff with us. He gives us one thing. Where do you think he lands? Look at this. Now, all glory to God, who is able to make you strong, just as my good news says. This message about Jesus Christ has revealed His plan for you Gentiles, a plan that kept secret from the beginning of time. But now, as the prophets foretold, and as the eternal God has commanded, this message is made known to all Gentiles everywhere, so that they too might believe and obey Him. All glory to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Paul gets to the end of Romans, and he could have just signed off and said, all right, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. But it's almost as if instead he explodes into a shout to the Lord, or all glory to God. He has come full circle. If we looked all the way back at the beginning in chapter 1 of the book of Romans, he starts out talking about the gospel. Here in our passage today, he's talking about the gospel. Chapter 1, he's talking about Jesus Christ. Here, we're talking about Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, he was talking about the promised revelation that the prophets were giving. Here, he talks about the prophets and it coming to fruition. He was talking about the whole world hearing and being able to believe. And here, he finishes with the whole world hearing and being able to believe. See, Romans begins with the gospel of God. Yes, thank you. And it ends with the glory of God from start to finish. The gospel of God ends then with the glory of God. And everything in between shows us what happens to a life that is truly transformed by the gospel. And ultimately then points everything back to Him. So what we're going to do over the next few minutes is we're going to take one last look. We're going to journey through Romans and remember exactly what God has done for us. First of all, He saved us. The gospel that saves us was Romans chapters 1 through 5. Romans chapters 1 through 3 gave us some pretty distressing news. It said, we all have a problem and we can't fix it. That was bad news. Sin isn't just something that's wrong with those people. It's not something that is immune to anyone. It doesn't matter if you're religious or irreligious. It doesn't matter if you're moral or immoral. Good backgrounds, bad backgrounds. Paul levels the playing field, and he did this in Romans 3:23. He says this: everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Everyone, no exceptions. Nobody gets a pass. Nobody can brag and say, well, that's not me. Or nobody can point the finger and say, at least I'm not like them. He says, everyone, we all have sinned. We all need grace. And God knew that. Fortunately for us, He says this: but now, God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law. And I hope you've picked that up over the last few months, that it's not about what we do. It's not about trying harder. It's not about keeping the law. It says, but now, we couldn't get to God. So God came to us. That is the good news. We couldn't make ourselves righteous. Righteousness was a gift from God through Jesus Christ. We couldn't earn salvation, so Jesus paid for it for you and I. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." Not after we cleaned up our act, not after we got everything just right and our lives were pointing in the right direction. It was while we were still sinners. He met us right where we were in the middle of our mess. Not when we finally deserved it. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we're actually going to remember that right now. We're going to take a couple of minutes and do something that Christians have been doing for over 2,000 years. Since the time that Jesus rose from the dead and left us on mission. Our team is going to start handing out some communion elements. And if you're a follower of Jesus, whether Catalyst is your home church or not, you are welcome to join us and participate in this. I just ask you to take the elements as they're being passed out and just hang on to them for a couple of minutes, and then we'll all take them together. If you're here today and you're not sure what you believe about Jesus, you're just checking this stuff out and you're really not sure yet, let me encourage you, there's absolutely no pressure for you to participate. In fact, you can just let the trays pass by. We are just excited that you are here. But I do want to encourage you, it's not a time for you to tune out, because you're about to hear over the next few minutes what is the heart of Christianity and what Christians believe. So if you've been checking Christianity out, this is a time for you to tune in, not tune out, while we celebrate communion together. Communion is simply a way of remembering. It's a way of remembering the heart of everything we've been talking about in Romans. Remembering what Jesus did for us. When we couldn't save ourselves, he did. And that's the gospel. So while the elements are being passed, I want you to think about this in a very personal way, not a general way. I want you to think about it from a perspective not just that everyone has sinned, but I have sinned. Not just everybody needs grace, but I need grace. Not just Jesus died for the world, but Jesus died for me. Make it personal. See, Paul has spent these opening chapters of the book of Romans trying to strip away anything that would cause us to pretend, anything that would cause us to be proud, anything that would cause us to even get confused about our state without Christ. He says, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Again, making it personal. While I was still a sinner, he loved me. Before I had it all together, he loved me. Before I could offer him anything, he loved me. Before I even knew that I needed him, he loved me. You're holding in your hand a reminder of what Jesus did for you, a reminder that you couldn't do it for yourselves. And knowing how easily we are prone to forget things, Jesus gave us this simple reminder. It's an incredibly simple thing to do. He says, remember. It says, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. His body given for you. His life given up for you. The innocent him for the guilty me, you. So before we eat, why don't you just hold that bread for a moment and think Think about his grace. Think about what you've been forgiven from. Think about where you might be without Jesus. Just take a moment and think about that. Make it personal. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for sending your son to die for us. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing your body to be broken for me. When I so didn't deserve it, when I didn't even want it, thank you for looking beyond my wants and meeting my greatest need. And on behalf of everyone here, Lord, thank you for doing that for us, for your body being broken and your blood being shed. Thank you, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. He took the bread and he broke it and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body. Let's eat together." It says, "Then Jesus took the cup and he said, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood.'" This cup tells us that the price has been paid. It tells us that our sins are forgiven because of his blood. You don't have to carry the guilt anymore. You don't have to wonder if you're good enough anymore. Because on the cross, Jesus said three words: "It is finished." That means there's no condemnation for you and I, because he took that on himself when he shed his blood for us. Not less condemnation, not no condemnation until you mess up again. No condemnation, full stop. So as we drink, remember what it cost him. Remember what it did for you. Remember that grace won. Let's drink together in remembrance. That, my friends, is Romans 1 through 5. The gospel that saves us. We couldn't do it ourselves, so Jesus did. But Romans gave us even more good news. It's not just the gospel that saves us. Then we have the grace that changes us. As we went into chapter 6 through 12, Romans 6 tells us that sin doesn't have to be your master anymore because you're free. And then Romans 7, which we can also relate to, Paul talks about his own personal struggle with, "I want to do the right thing and I end up doing the wrong thing. I don't want to do the wrong thing, but I find myself there again." Anyone relate to that? Yeah, show of hands, praise God. I see that hand. Yeah. We can all relate to that. And then Romans 8, it's such a beautiful doctrinal treatise, but it tells us that there's no condemnation for you and me. It tells us that the Spirit of God lives inside of us once we've accepted Christ. It tells us that God is working in us even when we can't see it happening. And it tells us that nothing can take away the salvation that he so freely gave us. Nothing can separate us from his love. Then we got to Romans chapter 9 through 11, and that was the Questioning God series, where we learned that even when we can't understand, even when there's questions that are unanswerable, God is still faithful, and he is still God, and we can trust him. And after 11 chapters of all of that, he goes to chapter 12 and reminds us this. He says, "So, because of all of that, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." Because of all he has done for you, give him your life. Don't give him your life to earn grace. That would make it not grace anymore. You've already received it. It's not to pay him back. You could never pay him back. It's because you understand what he has done. We worship because that's a reasonable response, because we want to. Grace doesn't just save us. It changes us. But that change was never meant to just stop with us. That change sent us on. Changed people become sent people. So that's the mission that sends us, which we covered in Romans 13 through 16. When God sends us, sent people live differently. Sent people love differently. Sent people serve. They use their gifts. They welcome differently. They handle disagreements differently. They make room for others. They carry the gospel to people that don't have it. Paul spent these final chapters showing us what the gospel looks like when it gets out of our heads and into our lives. And then he said this: this message is made known to all Gentiles everywhere so that they too might believe and obey him. Looking at the end of Romans again, he never intended the gospel to stop with us, to stop with you or stop with me. It was always meant to move through us. That's hope multiplied. That's what we talk about here a lot. The gospel saved us and his grace changed us. And that becomes the hope that we can carry to others. Every nation, every culture, every generation, every person. Because God has chosen us, his church, to carry it. And when you look at the God who saved us, the God who changes us, the God who sends us, then there's only one more place to go. One more place to go, and that's this: all the glory that belongs to God. It all belongs to God. He reaches a crescendo here in verse 27, where he says, all glory to the only wise God through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Who gets the glory? Not us, not Paul, not the church, but God. Because he saved us. He changed us. He called us. He sent us. He carries us. He holds us. So all glory goes to God. All glory. And church, I can look back over more than just the book of Romans and have reason to give God glory, because I have seen God work in my life personally for a lot of years. 59 years. Haven't seen it all those years. But when I look back, I can. And you know, I've witnessed him. And I've witnessed him working in our church. I've seen God save people. I've stood in the baptistry behind me here with people who I have seen God transform their life completely. They are completely new person because of what Jesus did. I've seen him restore what looked broken beyond repair. I've seen him provide when we've got no idea the answer, where things are going to come from. I've sat with families who seem to have no way forward whatsoever. And I've seen him make a way. I've seen him bring hope to impossible situations. I've seen him change hearts. I've seen him change lives. I've seen him restore families. And over these years, I've seen him building his church here. I've watched this church become something that we could have never dreamed of or manufactured. It was all God. And you and I have witnessed it. Help me out for time.
All alone, your presence was where I found home. So I'll pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all of it. Your promises never fail. I've got stories I'll live to tell. So I'll pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all of it.
You say,
you save, and I witness.
I'm confident.
stand in this moment for just a second. So good to remember the things that we have witnessed. So after everything that we've seen, after everything that we have remembered, everything we celebrated, there's one question that remains. One question. Who gets the glory for your life? Who gets the glory? Romans has spent 16 chapters. Paul has spent 16 chapters removing any reason we have to brag or to boast or say, look at me, how great I am. Didn't save myself. So if he saved me, if he changed me, if he called me and cared me, there's only one reasonable response. My life belongs to him. Romans 12 again. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies a living sacrifice. This is truly the way to worship him. Maybe the greatest way that you and I can give glory to God today isn't by just singing louder, although singing louder is good, but maybe it's about surrendering more. Maybe there's an area you've been holding on to. Your plans, your dreams, maybe your whole life. Can I encourage you today? Maybe it's time to offer that as a sacrifice, to put that back on the altar. Say, it's yours. I worship you, God, it's yours. Because the best response to God's grace is a life that points back to him. And maybe you're not ready for that. Maybe you're not here today and you're not ready to say, hey, my life belongs to God. That's okay. Maybe you're still working out whether or not you even believe. Maybe your best response today would be to take one step closer. Maybe just say, hey, God, if you are there, if this is all real, I want to know you. This is real. It sounds good. But I'm not there yet, but show me. You don't have to have everything figured out to take another step towards Jesus. So, church, this is where Romans leaves us today. He saves us. He changes us. We're sent with hope, and we live for his glory. And that's the story we want our lives to tell. That's the story we want Catalyst to tell. Not, look at me, how good I am, but how good he is. Not look what I've done, but look what he has done. So after months in Romans, I don't know any better way or any better words to finish than with Paul's very own words. All glory to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Wow. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for doing what we couldn't do. Thank you for the reminder of that today as we just did a quick flyby of the whole book that we've been studying this year. Lord, thank you for inspiring Paul to write Romans and leave us with that so that we could understand who you are and who we are, and that, Lord, we could allow you to take control, to save us, to change us, to call us, to carry us through the times we don't understand. And Lord, to send us out as your witnesses. Lord, help us to not just shout to the Lord, but to give our lives and live for you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.